to start this way.
I want you to think about this. He was a fireman for 37 years. So, yeah, by the way, I told you we clap for everything, don't we, around here? We do thank God. I want to, first of all, we thank God for everybody in our church and outside of our church that serves our county in any way. Amen. Firemen, police officers, military, teachers, coaches. Come on, that's a good place to say amen and to put your hands together. We thank God for people that put their lives on the line. And so think about the irony of 37 years in the fire department, who has put out thousands of fires himself and then loses their own house. And so it's crazy. So just kind of get us up to speed on all that, how you felt. And because you retired, Tammy and I had the privilege of going to your retirement party, and that was amazing. And I know you were fixing up your house, and so talk about that.
Welcome. First of all, retirement was awesome for about 6 months. You know, there's two words that come to mind about retirement itself. You know, it was a long haul to serve and work for 37 years, and I was so happy to be done. And we were really looking forward to it. Even read a book about it and stuff like that. And people would say, you know, what's it like? And I said, it's wonderful. Well, how do you feel? Well, I feel giddy. You know, all the way up until December 4th, or when I got that text from Steve. So, but that's, you know, honestly, I was so excited, and I'll let Jill talk about the house, but the reality was we were ready to really sow into our future. You know, like, okay, let's go ahead and do the kitchen, like you said, and do this and that, and you put brand new air conditioning in, and it was Christmas, and but I'll let you talk about the first Christmas, but
Before Jill jumps in, I want to say, because when you first retired, you were saying yes to everything. You went on a trip to Alaska. You were doing so good. Just talk about that before Jill responds.
Yeah, honestly, it was the first time that I was able to say, you know, when somebody says, "Hey, you want to go to a Dodger game?" Yes. You want to go to a Laker game? Yes. I mean, it was so cool. And Jill was like, "Oh, good, go, because I need some autonomy here." And so I'd go to Alaska fishing. And I mean, the reality was I never had the ability in my entire life since like probably 17, because we got married really young, to be able to say yes to things that I would like to do. It was always based on schedule. And I was quite a worker. I spent a lot of time at work. And one quick story, I was flying back with a division chief from Virginia one time, and some lady sits in the middle of us, and she says, "Hey, what do you guys do for hobbies?" And so my division chief's like, "Well, I go fishing," and he has all these pictures, and it gave me this opportunity to think, what do I do for hobbies? Nothing. All I do is work.
We had bought the house I think it was about 2001. Our last child was in high school, and we had a larger house, and we were ready to kind of get something a little bit smaller and something that we could just be in for the remainder. And so obviously the house needed fixing up, and we thought, oh, when you retire, when we get right there, you know, we'll redo the kitchen, we'll do all this stuff. So literally 2 weeks before the fire, we got AC put in. We used it twice.
Hold on one sec. How many of you do not have air conditioning in your home? Let me just see. Raise your hand.
Oh, you got to get it.
We didn't. Yeah. You got to get it now.
Which is crazy, because people that come from other states are like, "You don't have air conditioning?" I'm like, "No, the climate's so cool, you don't need it." But they put it in 2 weeks before their house burned down.
2 weeks before. We had the cottage cheese scraped off the ceilings. We had all the electrical redone so that we'd be prepared, you know, to redo the kitchen and stuff. So, I mean, literally, you know, it was like Thanksgiving. I remember running because it was hot that Thanksgiving right before we lost the house, and turning on the AC, and was like, "This is so cool. Got AC." and it was our first Christmas. So we literally, on that night, it was December 4th, Pastor Steve had called and just telling Andy, "Aren't you glad you're retired?" Because everybody could see the fire coming. And I really wasn't paying attention. He still had on his phone all the, he was getting all the alerts and everything. He knew what the whole fire department was doing. And he looks up at me about 9 o'clock and says, we're probably going to have to evacuate in about an hour. And I was all, "Evacuate for what? What do we have to evacuate for?" He said, "There's a fire coming from Santa Paula." So literally, we got up the next morning. We ended up going to our daughter's and got up the next morning, and we'd gone to a friend's house and saw on television, our shed was on fire. I could see it on TV, and said to my husband, "That's our street and that's our shed. It's on fire." And so he called the fire department right away.
Yeah, so that night when Pastor Steve texted, we were just texting back and forth, and I really thought, even with all my experience, that there's no way that fire is going to reach our house, right? It's a mile from our house, winds railing east to west. I'm looking at the fire conditions. I'm going, this is going to go to the avenue, man. This is a big fire. But, you know, where we were at, I just didn't expect it to do what it did. And matter of fact, I even went outside and spent about an hour pulling everything combustible away from the house, tidying up the vents. If I was on duty, that's what I would do to your home. And so I thought, man, this is going to be an easy save. There's a lot of misjudgments, though. I had no idea the wind would shift to a north coming down. I had no idea that they would run out of water. So to hamper a firefighter, just take away their water, right? And so those things were not in my mind that that was going to happen. And so about 12:30 at night when Jill goes, hey, I think the fire is up on our track. And it really was. It was starting to take homes above us. But I felt pretty confident even at that point. That was when I was like, you know what? If I were in command right now, and the guy that was running the fire was the guy I mentored for my role for a year, and so we had a very close relationship, amazing young guy. He was running the fire and made a decision to evacuate. And I thought, if I were in command and I gave the command to evacuate, what would I expect people to do? And I thought, you know, I could stay here and be the hero and stuff, but that's really not what, I could also be a victim or get in trouble. Or bottom line, it was a really difficult decision for me, you know. But we ended up leaving and taking hardly anything except for our computers. But I get, where are we at with the, what's going on at this point? Is that where we're at? To fill you back in, to the next morning, like when Jill said she saw the shed on fire, you know, I purposely hadn't communicated with the fire department, like, oh, good, put a fire engine on my house because I'm an ex-fire chief, right? It wasn't like that. It was like, what's the right thing to do? Just take care of your house and evacuate when it's right. So the command, Dustin called me in the morning and said, how's your house, boss? And I said, I think it's going to be great. I mean, we're a mile from the fire. It's going to be great. I'll go check on it. I'll check on it after briefing. It's 0600 in the morning, right? So I'm thinking, oh, by 6:37, we'll hear something, maybe 8. So Jill's watching TV, and on TV, our shed's on fire. And I text Dusty, hey, I think my shed's on fire. Can you look at it? And he said, on it. And within minutes, seconds, actually, my dispatch supervisor called me and said, hey, Chief, we got Engine 54, Battalion 5, and Truck 5 responding to your house. I thought, my goodness. In one word, the cavalry's coming, right? I think they're going to save our house. But I had no idea at that moment that we're looking at footage that was probably 3 hours old, and our house had burned probably 3 hours before that. So when he got to the house and he found it and all that kind of stuff, that's when we first realized that the house is gone.
Yeah, if you know Jill, like, she decorates, she goes all out for the holidays, and this was Christmas, the first Christmas Andy in his retirement. They were going to enjoy it, and I know that house was fully decked out, gifts under the tree. And so when you guys, they had bought brand new, I think, a bed,
yeah,
a vanity that was going to be installed. And so when you first walked there and saw it, what was your initial reaction and feelings? And
I think grief and understanding. I mean, initially you're just very shocked. You really are. It's just that sense of, it's almost like unbelief. And I think God gives us that on purpose. He gives us a minute to kind of, you know, so that we can think about what's happened. But honestly, we were able to go up the very first day after the fire and get through. And honestly, walking up the street, I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was literally like Armageddon. There was, you know, water spurting everywhere. There's houses burned down everywhere. It's more than you can take in. And when we walk up the street to our house, we have a stairway on the side of our property that we can walk up, and the stairs were still there. And in my mind, a half of me is thinking, oh, they were wrong. It's still there. He saw the wrong house. And we walked up the stairs, and everything is gone. I mean, it's completely to the ground. I recognize at this time, it was just no maturity on me. It was just literally, the first thing I said when I walked up those stairs was, my daddy's going to be so mad, I don't think I have to do a thing, referring to God my Father. And I just knew, there was just such a certainty after spending 30 years with him that he was going to take care of us, that this was going to be okay. And whatever had come after us, he was already, you know, he was ahead of us. There were so many things on the backside. We never knew what our insurance was. We'd gotten our insurance like in 2002, probably. Had our insurance agent for years. When I got the house insurance, she was all, I'll take care of it. I'm all, oh, great. I had never looked at the policy in my life. Look at your policies. But it was a great policy. Super grateful. We almost left the house, sold the house the year before he retired. We were really thinking about just not having to do a fixer-upper. Let's not do a fixer-upper. And leaving, and literally we had looked at houses so much that we finally stopped and said, let's pray and see what the Lord's saying. And I was walking one day in our neighborhood, and this was at least a year before the fire, a couple years. I laid in our side yard, and I remember looking up at the sky, and the Holy Spirit said to me so clearly, you're not going to leave here. This is your home. If I had not had that on the inside of me, I may have cut and run after the fire.
I think I was a bit different because Jill said, you know, she was expecting to see the house. I was not. And I've seen hundreds and thousands of homes destroyed in my career. I've seen a lot of loss, life, etc. I've seen that. And so, you know, my expectation was to see something. When Dusty said it's to the ground, Chief, I had no doubt that it was gone and how it might look. It just never happened to me, you know. And when we walked up the stairs, I grabbed Jill's hand. I said, hey, brace yourself. This is not going to be pretty. And as we walked up, it wasn't. And, you know, honestly, I was just... I wasn't like unbelief that this can't happen. It was unbelief that it happened to me. And I think about, you know, loss. We're talking about loss right here. You know, there's expected loss and there's unexpected loss. And we've done some bonehead things in our life where God's redeemed our marriage and stuff. And the reality of God is a great redeemer. But I was just not expecting an unexpected loss. And the house at this time of my life where everything was gone, you know. I can go on to just our uniforms are still in plastic. My dad's before me and mine, just they're not recoverable, those type of memories and things. But so I was personally just devastated, probably in shock. But inside, I knew I was. It's going to be a deep, deep work. And I was ready because Jill and I had been teaching the EHS here for so long. Thank you guys for having us do it, because it ended up being a great tool belt for us to go through grief and loss, through the wall, those kind of things. But because those tools were in our tool belt ahead of time, we were able and prepared to go, all right, we're going to grieve. I don't even know what that means, but we're going to do it. And even when you feel raw and like you have no skin left, you know that you can rely on Jesus. You know you can rely on the word that's in your heart. And it is established forever. It's going to give you something solid to stand on. And honestly, that's all you had at certain times, because other than that, it was ash, you know. So
let me just real quick, each of you, maybe in a minute or less, what did you learn? What did you learn about you? What did you learn about God? If you don't, if you need a second, we can take an offering and then we'll get it.
You know, one thing I learned, there's something I learned about me, and it was that I was able to have emotions. Typically, I'm not very emotional. I think clearly, act decisively, make decisions. I knew all the 10 standard firefighting orders. But to start to apply my faith in areas that were very deep, I was not used to pulling out levels of emotion I didn't even know existed. You know, years before, Jill would say things like, how do you feel about this or that? I'm like, I don't know how I feel about my fitness or about my eating. Or what are you talking about? You know, because can you categorize feeling right there? It's like, but now, you know, I would say that what I learned about myself is I have the ability through God working deep to have emotions and to feel empathy differently for others. Like I said, I've seen a lot of people go through a lot of difficult things. I don't just say some quick nifty scripture anymore. A lot of times it's like, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm just so sorry. It's going to be okay. Can you hear God just speak that to you? You know, it's like, it's a different because it comes with a deep work that God can do and transform you. What I learned about God, faithful.
Yeah. Just before Jill responds, I just want to say this just because I, you know, a little bit about my story. I was in ICU for 2 weeks. Just some pastoral advice. When people are going through a hard time, grief and loss, it's really not a teaching time or for you to say something hyper-spiritual or do you give somebody three verses. No, you just need to say, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm really sorry. I can't even imagine what you're going through. Put your arm around them. And the Bible says, weep with those that weep. Because sometimes people, they try to be helpful and they say, you know, some of the craziest things and they end up being very hurtful to people. And so I just wanted to add that. So what did you learn about you? What did you learn about God?
I was going to laugh because I was going to say I learned that I wasn't a minimalist, but because I wanted my stuff back. No, that's just light. Anyway, but I think with having taught emotionally healthy spirituality here for the last 5 years, our tool belt was really full, and it just turned out to be a time when and I was telling Pastor Tammy this earlier, but emotionally, there were especially negative emotions. I was always, if I felt anger, I felt like I was a bad person. And I had a lot of guilt regarding anger. And through this, I was actually able to use my emotional realm as a discipleship tool. I was able to bring it to God and walk with Him. There's the lyrics in... what is that song? I've lived in the goodness of God. But she says, the lyrics say, you've seen me through the fire. We were laughing about that earlier. I hated the fire songs after the fire. I'm like, what are you singing about fire for? But it says, you walked me through the fire. You've held me close like no other. And then she says, I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And honestly, that kind of sums it up about for God for me. I've always just, I love to be with God and I run toward God. But this, I gained a greater intimacy. And I think we have choice when we move into grief. And we can move away from God or we can move toward Him. And when we get hit, it's so important to make eventually an intentional decision to run toward Him and into Him. And He can handle your feelings. I think that's the biggest thing I learned about God. From despair to a lot of anger to confusion to not understanding, He can handle it and He wants it. And He will take you right by the hand and it's good. And you end up with gold after that. That you probably couldn't have gotten otherwise.
That's good. Go ahead,
Dan. I know, that was so good. I know God cares about every single thing about our lives, and sometimes I would just feel so bad because, like, you know, for us women, we have, like, our go-to outfits or our comfy outfits, and all of those for Jill were gone. except share the one thing that you, one of the things that you took.
When we left, I mean, because we really did not think our house was going to burn down. So when we left, we just took like an overnight bag. We'll just get an overnight bag. And thank God we took both cars. I took one and he took the other. So there were people up there that completely lost their vehicles. But we took both the cars. I literally had like my slippers on, some sweats, a t-shirt, and I zipped my Patagonia up. But leaving, I was like, what should we take? And I'm looking around the room, and I have this belt that I've had for like 25 years. It's this old leather belt. It's got like, you know, the things in it. You know, it's all hippie belt. It's such a cool belt. And I'm always all, I could never lose that belt. I gotta have that belt. So I have the belt. I got that belt.
So for how many of you, the belt's not on the top 500 things that I'm taking.
But we all have that one thing, don't we? But, you know, we were talking earlier as well, and, you know, Steve, you know, led us. We believe in the miraculous.
Amen.
Miracles happen all the time, big ones, little ones. And if we are looking for miracles, we'll see them. Yeah. We also live constantly with the word, that the word declares that in this world there will be tribulation. And so, how did you guys navigate that? Like, we believe in miracles, and then this big trial journey came your way that you didn't ask for, you didn't want, you didn't ever expect in a million years this would be the journey you walked on. Could you share? Because I know so many of us were, if you surveyed everyone here, you probably identify with some sort of small or big or medium trial or journey, or you're grieving something you thought you would get your dream job, or you thought you'd be married by now, or you thought you'd make the team, and those are all losses and trials.
You know, I think first of all is like when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's who he is. He's not a magic pill, and trials are absent from your life, or loss. And you know, I think something that's really important to remember is that we are not in control of the outcomes. We can believe by faith for miracles, and we should, and for a miraculous God.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if you can partner, instead of like, okay, hey, something bad happened or a loss, and you start partnering with it as a coach or a mentor, you'll be taught deep lessons. If you allow God into the inner place, the inside places of you, before you know it, he can do the deep transformative work, because the reality is loss can be a help. And I shared this last service. I am a very competitive person, and I ran a lot competitively until my knees gave out. But I only would enter races I knew I could win. And I would equate loss to loser, which was wrong. I don't think like that anymore. Now I think, you know, how can I partner with this challenge, maybe change my relationship with something I've lost? How can I take that and allow God to teach me in these deep areas of my life? And the amazing thing is, however dark it gets, God's bright. However difficult it is, he's compassionate. And as you walk through, you find the divine nature of God not only with you, but working in you. And before you know it, you're applying that through his word to others. And you can end up being a God help to somebody else as God helps you. So, you know, I think just making your faith real, you know.
Yeah, I think that's the faith works only in reality. I think often we want to use faith to exit what's really happening, instead of put faith right in what's happening. And, you know, God doesn't function in the realm of denial. As soon as we are moving in like repression or denial or minimizing or blaming or, you know, numbing out with overwork or food or whatever, TV, alcohol, whatever it may be, you've exited the ability for faith to begin to function, because faith functions right in the difficulty. It comes right into it. And you know, when he says, you know, the truth will make you free, and literally he's talking in that section of scripture, if you'll continue in truth, that means it's in the context of process. Our faith is always in the context of process. It's not like here, like I'm going to be super faith, you know, in the second of this. Faith works when you don't even feel it, when you don't feel strong in it. It's being exercised and it's being used and it becomes a process. But truth literally means, the word literally means reality. What is really, really happening here? And what does God say about what's really, really happening here? You know, when you've lost every single thing and there are things that cannot be replaced, it's like when you lose a person you love, that person will never be replaced, ever. You know, there were pictures we lost of our children. They'll never be replaced. Our daughter called probably 6 months after, our youngest daughter, and she said, "Mom, we'll have to get really good at telling stories, because there's nothing to hand down anymore." Like all our parents had passed away about 5 years before the fire. Everything we inherited was in that house. It's just gone. And she said, "We'll have to get really good at telling stories." But you know, and I love that she said that, because she got creative in the loss, you know, and found a way for, it was just like redemption just squeezed in. And so, but we just wanna, you know, to be realistic is the ability to have faith.
Really,
it just
good.
Really is.
I just wanna ask this. Anybody watching online right now or in the building, because this event happened 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. So with your hand lifted, how many of you experienced some kind of loss or grief in the last 3 years? And if you're watching online, maybe put it in the chat, like, "I lost a job, I got divorced," whatever it is. Let me just see your hand real quick. So it's probably like 70, at least 75% of the building, 80%. So just let's get real practical in a minute each. What would you say to the people that just lifted their hands, anybody watching online, practically, what should they do or not do? What are some helpful things to do and not do when going through grief and loss?
First thing I would say to all you, raise your hand, is, "I'm so sorry." It's like Pastor Steve said. And then God's going to get you through this. He's going to be right with you. The practical thing, feel what you're feeling. Don't deny it or minimize it, like Jill was saying. Don't blame it away. And so, one, feel it. Pay attention. So pay attention to yourself, your well-being, your physical fitness, your spiritual wellness, your emotional health. Just pay attention. Another thing practically, and I shared this last service, it's don't go alone. You know, obviously go with God as you walk through your journey of life and through your trials. But, you know, I other than God and Jill, I have a first call. Like if there's something big that goes down, you know Pastor Steve as your pastor and leader, and so do we, but he's also my friend. And so he's a guy that I can call and do call. He's my first call. When something, if it's 9/11, he's my first call. If it was this, it was a call. We were texting that night. Don't go alone. Get a support. There's grief share. There's support as far as workshops, emotionally healthy spirituality. There's classes. You can do that ahead of time. But if you're in it and you're in the muck right now, I promise you, when you put your head to bed tonight and you close your eyes and you can't, you're going to have uninvited guests like fear, anger, rage, confusion, conflicted. You're going to have uninvited guests. If you know you're going to bed and those uninvited guests are coming, bring God with you.
Yeah.
You've got to bring scripture, something that's hidden in your heart that you know you can rely on and you can hold on to, because that truth right there is going to set you free. Those things are feelings and emotions. They'll go, but they're real. And they're happening to you right now. But those are the three probably practical things.
That's
I would
say. Really helpful. What would you say, Jill, like what we shouldn't do? What are some things we should not do?
Shouldn't do. I think isolate, and that's a big one for me, because I it's my temperament to isolate. But my sister who lives in Colorado throughout it was, she's probably closest to me outside of, you know, him and probably my kids. But she she was so committed, you know, and make sure whoever's close to you is someone that it's a support, you know, it's like, because some people can be not a support. But she would literally, I would wake up in the morning and she would send me a song by text, you know, just through, and she'd click it to YouTube and I'd be able to click it. And I literally, she probably over the over 2 years that it took to rebuild the house, I probably got like 10 songs from her that I'm not kidding, they were just God moment songs, every single one of them. I think, you know, like Andy said, I think, you know, you kind of have to break it down to basics. You got to take care of yourself. You got to get sleep. You need to try and eat well. You know, you need to give yourself some margin in life. Kind of give yourself a break. You know, I think, you know, give yourself a break. I think sometimes we try to do everything so perfectly or try to hold it together. And I don't think that's so necessary. I think just to kind of, you know, let yourself be, give yourself a break. But for me, those margins of just, and I always say this, but time with the Lord where I could satiate, where I wasn't running through, where I could just be with him, was really critical. And however God shapes that for you, whether that be through a walk or, you know, just sitting outside or, you know, really being in the Word or music or whatever it is. I mean, you'll know, I'm a big reader. And literally for about a year, I had a difficult time finishing a book. And I could not read well. And so I would just take just a little book with scriptures in it and just read those out loud. Because that honestly many times was the best I could do. But just find ways, you know, journal, just those kind of things where you're just staying connected to yourself, to the Father, and to people who love you.
Yeah. I just wanted to echo that. I think so many of us, when you're talking about isolate, I think it's good to be with yourself, by yourself, alone at times. But I've been doing this 30 years, and so many people I've seen over the last 30 years go through a difficult time. They check out of church, they check out of accountability, they check out of relationship, and that's exactly where the enemy wants you, is to live in isolation, because you're really a sitting duck for him. So Jill even mentioned in the first service, like she didn't feel like coming to church, but she had to force herself to come. And come on, let's just be honest. Sometimes you got to force your, some of you are here today, you had to force yourself to come. It's just the reality. We felt like that, you know, at times as well. You got to be in fellowship and relationship with other people that'll lift you up. It's really important. So we want to end kind of with this, because like that was a travesty. It was devastating for sure, but by the grace of God and a good insurance plan, they have an absolutely beautiful house. We were just there a week ago. We've been there many times for dinner. We're going to put his address up on the screen right now. Dinner at the Ortegas tonight at 6 p.m. Just kidding. Beautiful house. And again, by the grace of God. And so just what is it like now? I've been to your house. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Well, I was never a homebody, and Jill was. She always made the house very peaceful, and it was a place I really liked to go but not stay. And so even if I was out traveling or whatever, you know, I would like to go longer, and Jill always wanted to come home. That has really flipped, and I don't know because we lost the house. I don't know why, but now I love going home. I didn't like the process of building a house. Jill loved it. We're very different. I was all like the business side, figuring out, you know, the assessor's office and the numbers and the budget. And even though we had a really good insurance policy, it's not enough. You know, there is miracles that take place that keep you, you know, afloat and stuff like that. And more than afloat, they just really, God is a wonderful God. And pastor's talking about generosity earlier, you know, live a pay it forward life now. Be generous now. You know, hide the word in your heart now. You know, don't stop learning and being teachable. But I love going home now, which was very different than before.
You know, I think for me, it's been like a pendulum. You know, at the beginning, you feel a real hit, and then I never had it on my trajectory to build a house, but it turned out to be something I love to do. I even keep telling them, let's buy another lot, and I want to build a house without it burning down. But, you know, it was kind of like this, you know, and about midway through, you know, I was, you're kind of halfway through grieving the loss and then with the ability to be excited about the future. And I think that, you know, begins to happen even when we got home, because it took us a little over 2 years to actually build the house. And when we got home, I recognized I was there but not there. It was like even going home was part of, you know, God finishing the process and healing the process. And it's even not until, what, we're 3 years out now? It was 3 years in December. I finally am beginning to feel the gain from the time. And so that's really exciting to be able to, I feel the strength added from the process. And that's kind of the best part. And the house is great.
Yeah, we'll be there tonight. So, hey, we just want to say to Andy and Jill, on behalf of Tammy and I and our church family, thank you. First of all, we're very sorry for what you had to walk through, but what you guys have modeled to us has been nothing but the grace of God and the love of God. And but beyond that, 30 years of friendship, helping us start this church, plant the church, your prayer, your support, teaching classes, it goes on and on and on. So we honor you guys today, and we thank God for the gift of Andy and Jill. Love you. Was that helpful? So good, wasn't it? I'm going to invite Andy just to wrap up our time together in prayer. And after he's done praying, we're going to have people here, intercessors, prayer people that are available, because you guys raised your hand. Like 75% of you said you're going through something. And so we want to do our due diligence and make ourselves available to pray for you and love on you. And so take advantage of that. They'll be up here right after the service, right after Andy prays.
Father, we just take a moment to thank you. We recognize you, Jesus. You're the author and finisher of our faith. Holy Spirit, thank you that even as we worship today, we invited you to have place, not just here, but in our hearts. Holy Spirit, do the work that you can do. You're called the Paraclete, which means you're our comforter. Lord God, sometimes even those people that raise their hand really could use an embrace. There's nothing like the divine embrace of a good God. So, Lord, what we receive, even if our hands were up, we receive the divine embrace, the kiss of God. And so thank you that you're a good, good Father. And, Lord, we just pray, even as people are going through very difficult times, that you right now supernaturally would deposit hope in the heart of each and every person hearing online and in the congregation here, even the people backstage that are working, the worship leaders, everybody else, that you would deposit this measure of hope, Lord God, that's anchored on your Son, Jesus Christ, that we know it's a hope that doesn't disappoint, Lord God. And we have this ray of light because even in the beginning, Lord God, your word says that you were hovering and there was darkness all over the earth, and then you spoke. And you spoke light, and there was light. And we speak that in the name of Jesus to everybody hearing. We speak peace to the wind and waves, Lord God, that you overcome natural things by your supernatural power. So we just release you and receive you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Hey, I'm Steve Abraham, the pastor of New Life Oxnard. Thank you for watching our YouTube channel. You can join us live every Sunday for a new sermon and live worship. Also, be sure to take a minute to subscribe and turn on your post notifications so you don't miss any of our new videos or live streams, and please share with a friend. And if you would like to partner with us in furthering the gospel, please click the link below. Don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for watching, and God bless you.